Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to actor Dennis Farina. You'll best remember him from TV's Law & Order or the John Travolta movie Get Shorty. If you're a little older like I am, you might remember his network debut on Crime Story. Now he's starring in a new movie, The Last Rites of Joe May, and a new HBO series, Luck. Stick around, because if you try to get away, Farina will stop you dead.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview. You know, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. Stop by and check it out. There are more than 900 archived celebrity and pop culture interviews for your listening pleasure.
Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of bad guys who, when they see former Chicago cop Dennis Farina coming their way, start thinking about mending their ways in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. Dennis Farina is an impact guy. When this prominent actor hits the screen, no matter what the role, he owns the screen. Now, I don't know what he's like in real life, but in TV and films alike, he's always bigger than life. And that's what makes this Law & Order veteran's work in The Last Rites of Joe May so compelling. He's small. Life has just beaten this small-time hood up and down so many times late in life that while we see a Dennis Farina character who still projects confidence outwardly in himself, inwardly, he's just about had enough. When he returns to his apartment after a lengthy hospitalization, only find a naked woman in his shower, things seem to be looking up. But when he finds out it's no longer his apartment, it's hers, well, welcome to The Last Rites of Joe May, indeed. And check out the trailer for The Last Rites of Joe May, and you'll see what I mean.
Joe May, I thought you were dead.
I thought you were dead.
What'd you do with all my stuff?
You just vanished. What the hell was I supposed to think? So that's it? You just tossed everything away, my whole life? This is my home. 40 years I've been here.
That's life, kid. One day you're on top of the world, the next day you're floating in the crapper. The sooner you learn that, the better off you're going to be.
Well, I got a little proposition for you. You need a place to stay, and I could just go to help with the rent. You get what I'm going with?
No scams, Joe.
We're tired, man. For real.
I know you're in there.
I think you better go before I call the cops.
I am the cops, you idiot. See you around, Gramps.
You got my money?
I see, man, there's been a little problem.
You are a piece of work, Joe. Look, you got my money or what?
You spent your whole life looking out for nobody but yourself.
You're a bum! You never know who your friends were, you know that? You never will!
Where is she?
Hey, Joe.
Yeah?
How come you were crying last night?
Life, I guess. How things might have been.
Now, you can see all of The Last Rites of Joe May from the comfort of your own home via Movies on Demand. It's also available on iTunes, Amazon, and Vudu, and watch for its theatrical release in New York and elsewhere soon. And don't miss Dennis Farina in the new HBO horse racing series, Luck, co-starring Dustin Hoffman, Nick Nolte, and Joan Allen, beginning in January 2012. And with that, Dennis Farina, welcome to Mr. Media.
Thank you.
I'm thinking playing Joe May seems like something very different for the Dennis Farina we've grown to know and fear in some ways in the past. Was it a stretch for you?
Well, yeah, I think Joe May is the less successful version of some of the other characters I may have played in Get Shorty, for instance, or Midnight Run. Joe is a short money street hustler, and that's all he will ever amount to.
He's always looking for that next play. He doesn't have
always to. Always looking for the next score that really never comes along.
And how did Joe find his way to you?
It found its way to me through our two producers, Bill Strauss and Stephanie Striegel, through my little company. I have a company called Your Faded Films. And as soon as I read the script, I knew I wanted to do it. It was, to me, very interesting from the beginning when he comes out of the hospital and he goes right to a bar, and there's no one there to pick him up from the hospital, no wife, no son, no daughter, no nothing. And he goes to the bar, and the first thing someone tells him is that I thought you were dead. So in his own mind, he's more vital and more important than people think he is.
He does have a kind of an amped up vision of himself and his role in the world, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Sadly.
I love the interplay between him and the bartender, where, you know, at first we think, oh, this is so sad. No one knew poor Joe was in the hospital, but then Joe knew that the bartender knew. I mean, it's great. It's just a great stuff there. The film was written and directed by Joe Maggio. Did he see and get something out of you that maybe others have missed, or did he just continue? I mean, you mentioned the Get Shorty role, which was fairly flamboyant for its moment. But this is still kind of different from that.
Yeah, it is. It's a little more subtle than a lot of the roles that I've played concerning characters like that. But it was all pretty much there on the page when I read it. You know, anyone who's an actor will tell you that good scripts really pop out. You know, they're like a shining star or something. And I read this. I read the first five pages, and I knew I wanted to do it. And I had never met Joe before or had any dealings with him or seen any of his previous movies. But I knew that this was a little gem.
Hmm. And was there anything that you... I'm going to ask you about this in a minute, but the movie was made in Chicago. You shot in places that you knew. Was there anything that you added to the character, or that you and Joe added to the character once you got to Chicago and started filming, that just made it seem more organic to you?
Oh, well, yeah, and out of necessity also, because in the original script, which was supposed to take place in Brooklyn, because we did change it to Chicago, out of necessity, we had to change some dialogue around and stuff. And then we added some local stuff. For instance, there's a line in the movie where the his landlord says, well, I have an apartment for you on the south side, and I say, who wants to live on the south side? Well, there's a real division in Chicago between the north side and the south side and the White Sox and the Cubs. So we played that up a little bit. And some other kind of local stuff that happens in Chicago.
Now, if they, you know, on MTV, they have this show called Pop-Up Video, where you see the same episodes, but they little milestones pop up during the show and tell you interesting things about what you're seeing in the background or what you're not seeing. Are there some landmarks that moviegoers or viewers should be aware of that kind of go through the background of this film? Important things that are important to you?
Well, there are some shots when I'm up on the roof and you see the Hancock Building and the lakefront, our beautiful lakefront in Chicago. And the neighborhood that we shot in actually, believe it or not, was at the intersection of Grand and May. And we stopped there because Joe Maggio wanted a piece of pizza. we stopped at, he said, where are we? And this was not by design, it was all happenstance. I said, well, oddly enough, we're at Grand and May. And he said, well, let's look around this neighborhood. And within a four or six block area, we found everything that we needed for the film, the bakery, the grocery store, the apartment. We ran through some alleys and gangways that were all right there. So it was pretty easy from there.
How was the pizza?
Terrific.
Deep dish or, you know?
Well, it's pan pizza.
Pan pizza, sorry.
But now I have to, you know, now I have to, you know, I have to get into a little discussion. You know, people talk about thick pizza and thin pizza and, you know, our deep dish pizza.
Mm-hmm.
But pizza in Italy, when it was made originally, was all deep dish because it was peasant people made the bread and whatever they had left, they would put on top. So when they baked the bread, it was a little deeper than people think it is.
Now, I have to say, the only Chicago pizza I've had is Gino's East. So I hope that...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right. So
oh, great.
Is that respectable? All right.
Yeah, very good. They're actually friends of mine.
Oh, well, tell them I said hello. It was great pizza. It's been a while. But...
The original owners were friends of us.
Oh, very good. Yeah, that's the only place I've been for pizza there. It was very, very good. So, you know, got to make an impression on a boy from Brooklyn to remember Chicago pizza, right?
Right.
Now, I sort of mentioned this, but I understood that it was important to you to get the production shot in Chicago. But why? Why not just shoot it in Brooklyn or the Bronx
or
somewhere?
Well, for several reasons. I hadn't worked in Chicago for a long time, and I always wanted to do that. And mainly because our tax incentive in the state of Illinois is a little more generous than it is in the state of New York.
Hmm.
So that meant a lot to us when you're working on a movie that has a budget, you know, that's a very small budget. So you squeeze out every dollar that you can.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a little easier. It's a little easier to get around in Chicago than it is in Manhattan or Brooklyn for shooting purposes.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to change gears a little bit. You've got this other project coming up that's very interesting. The series Luck for HBO, and I understand you just finished shooting the first 10 episode season, is that right?
That's right, yeah, not too long ago.
All I know about it is it's got an amazing cast with you, Dustin Hoffman, Nick Nolte. I mean, I just can't imagine, first of all, Dustin Hoffman, but you and Nick Nolte in the same screen. I want to see that.
Well, it's a lot of fun, and he's a wonderful guy. We don't have that many scenes together. Most of my stuff is with Dustin, but we sure see each other a lot on the set and, you know, talk. He's a great storyteller, as is Dustin. I sit between them and I just listen, you know. But they're wonderful to be around, both of them. Joan Allen,
right?
In the show. Michael Gambone, Kevin Dunn, Richard Kind. There's all sorts of people in it. And it's... the bosses are Michael Mann and David Milch. And it's a pretty nice company to be in.
Can't go wrong with those guys. Now, tell me a little bit about the concept and who you play, where you fit into this.
Okay. I play a character named Gus, who is Dustin Hoffman's right-hand man. He's a character named Ace.
Mm-hmm.
And it revolves around the inner workings of a racetrack. Managers, agents, jockeys, how jockeys get rides, the physical things that they have to go to stay on weight. They have to weigh a certain amount of pounds to get a mount, how difficult it is to get a mount. If you don't ride, you don't get paid. And of course, then there's the gambling that comes into it. And then the one of the premises is that racetracks are having a rough time of it because people are going to OTBs and they're betting on computers and whatnot. So the attendance at racetracks is down.
Hmm.
And there's a theory that casinos may take over racetracks and have casinos built at racetracks. So then the interesting part comes in, who's going to be in control of those casinos,
mm-hmm.
who's going to run those casinos, and who are going to be the owner-operators of those casinos.
Mm. And
so you get all of these different characters involved.
Well, and you know, I was thinking about you've obviously done TV before, but how did Dustin and Nick Nolte make the adjustment? Was it hard? Did they actually wind up coming to you saying, "How do you do this?"
Oh no, they.
I mean, you got to make things smaller for them, right?
You listen. Those guys are pros. You can put them in a room this size with a camera and six other people, and they know what to do immediately. But they're pros. I can't speak for them, but I can for me. And I will say that in most of the things I did, it really never mattered to me if it was television or it was in the movies or a big movie or a small movie. What mattered mostly was the material and the people that you were going to be involved in. And when you get phone calls from the likes of Michael Mann and David Milch and Dustin and people like that, that's nice company to be in.
Oh, sure. And I think it's going to be a big treat for folks to see Dustin Hoffman on their TV in new material week after week for a while.
He's just a wonderful... besides acting, I mean, we all know what he is. He's a two-time Academy Award winner, and we all know what he can do. He's on stage. He's done it all. But I'm here to tell you, as a person, as a guy, he's just a good guy, good family man, and a lot of fun to be around.
I got one more question for you. Women over the age of 40 complain a lot in your business that there are no roles for them. While male actors seem to do better, we all, speaking for myself, we all age much more gracefully. Do you agree that it seems easier for men than women at a certain age?
It probably is. I'm, of course, not an authority on it. But I can tell you that Ernest Borgnine, who's 95 years old, just finished the movie. And I called him. I told him, "You're working more than I am." But I think probably that it is a little rougher. I don't know that it's fair, but it's a reality, I think.
Well, I was thinking because the woman that you find in, well, the woman that Joe May finds in his shower, and then the woman that Joe moves in with, both much younger. It's not like they were, interesting.
Younger women. And I think Jamie took that character, Jenny character, and turned her into a... did something with it where even at the end when I don't want to give too much away,
right.
But where she's going, where she's going to go, I always thought that she might fall into the same trap.
She's very compelling. She is very good.
She's terrific. As was Meredith, the little girl. I just had the hardest time to keep from hugging her.
That's a good relationship.
Joe cautioned me about it. He said, "Don't do that. Don't fall in love with this little girl." Because that's not what this movie is about.
Yeah, it's a great relationship between Joe and the little girl. Absolutely. Especially when you have to tuck her in and you have to take care of her. Anyway, well, listen, folks, you can find actor Dennis Farina in two very exciting new projects. The film, The Last Rites of Joe May, which is now available on Movies on Demand and Hulu and Vudu and Amazon, iTunes. And he's also going to be in the upcoming HBO horse racing drama we were talking about, Luck, which starts in January 2012. Dennis, people find you online. Are you into any of that? Are you?
No. I don't have. No, I use the Pony Express.
Very good. All right. And I'll be looking for smoke signals from you as well.
Okay.
All right. Hey, Dennis Farina, thank you so much for joining us on Mr. Media today. My pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. Take care.
For more original interviews, surf over to our main website, MrMedia.com, MRMedia.com. If you've enjoyed today's show, subscribe for free to Mr. Media via email, RSS, or iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. Another good idea, download our new free Mr. Media mobile app in the Android market. And you can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many parts of the Internet. Show your support of Mr. Media by supporting our sponsors, including Audible. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/radio. Again, that's audibletrial.com/radio for your free audiobook. We're also supported by thepartyauthority.us. Call DJ Ira for all your party entertainment needs nationwide at 1-800-DIAL-DJs or visit their website, thepartyauthority.us. If you've got an idea for a guest, a comment on today's show, or would like to advertise on Mr. Media Radio, email me directly at bob@mrmedia.com, mrmedia.com. You can also call our 24-hour listener line at 1-727-498-4711. Some messages may be used in an upcoming show. And unless you live next door to Mr. Media, there may be a toll charge. You can also follow Mr. Media on Facebook, Twitter, or our new YouTube and Vimeo video channels. Thanks so much for joining us today. I always appreciate you sharing a piece of your day with Mr. Media. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Hey, folks. You can hear Mr. Media while on the go now with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone, whether you use an iPhone, iPod Touch, Android, BlackBerry Curve, or Palm Pre. And when you download Stitcher to hear Mr. Media today, you have a chance to win some real money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in your smartphone's app store. Download it. It's free. Takes seconds. Then, during registration, hit the promo code box and enter Mr. Media, that's MR Media, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episode of Mr. Media will be waiting for you in Stitcher's favorites right on your phone. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. Some of my favorites include WTF with Mark Maron, Plus One Per Diem with Kevin Smith, and The Nerdist with Chris Hardwick. It's all free and all instant to you on Stitcher Smart Radio. And don't forget to win the money. Enter promo code Mr. Media, MR Media, when you register. And thanks for listening.
Hey guys, this is Emmy, and you are listening to Mr. Media.